Adventure 17 visit to Frogtown. Then we got on the radio and called our radio buddy from earlier. We told him about what we found. He still thought we were crazy, but we asked if there was anybody there who could resurrect somebody. He said maybe, but they were off today. Then he asked us who the hell are we and why do we call ourselves tourists. We got off the radio and decided to head that way. It was only going to take about an hour, and it was only about 10. You had to drive the green van. So we're riding along, and off in the distance we notice a blurry humanoid figure walking straight toward us. Everybody wanted to stop but me. I wanted to buzz him and scare him a little bit. So we stop about 100 feet away and he disappears. See, that's what you get for not having any fun. We didn't know what happened so we kept on moving. Then, in the green van, Banrak yells there's something in the back seat. Everybody in the green van starts freaking. Nick was ready to jump out of the van, even though it was moving 115 miles per hour. See what I mean? You were wondering what the hell they were talking about, and so were we. You couldn't see anything there, it must have been invisible. It was actually funny to see everybody up in the front seat. We yell out over the intercom to try and talk to it. The fairy says back quote hi. Nobody else says anything. I tell the drow to start scanning the other van to make sure that they aren't going nuts. They actually detected some kind of humanoid presence sitting in the back seat next to the bodies. It was not from this planet. But nobody wanted to do anything, so we kept on moving to the Temple of the Frog. A couple of minutes later, while traveling over the river, seven or so blobs start rising out in front of the water in front of us. We were able to dodge most of them, but we each hit one dead on. Splat! Pink blob gets all over the windshield. Yuck! We kept on moving. We were coming upon a line of trees to our left. Then, blam! A massive blaster shot hits each van dead on. All we could tell was that they came from over the tree line. Total each van. Yours pretty much started to quit right there, hell, you didn't even have much of roof anymore. I couldn't tell where it came from, but I knew it was high up, and I wanted to get under it. Pedal to the metal. Right down the beach at 115 miles per hour. I wanted to whip around that line of trees and get right up to it. My passengers, on the other hand, wouldn't hear of it. But, I didn't care. I was going for it anyway 10 seconds to the turn. Milo says, stop, 9 seconds to the turn. The drow go crazy mad 8 seconds to the turn. Worm says, you're crazy, 7 seconds to the turn. Everybody yells, stop. It was so loud that it actually got to me, and I had a change of heart. Knowing that I had to stop quick, I slammed on the brakes. As soon as it stopped, I jumped out and went running into the line of trees that are covering us, so I could get a better look. Nick, Wong, Milo, Sid and a couple others joined me, but you stayed behind to guard the drow. That creature was still in the back seat. We saw a huge wall, 30 feet high, with giant turrets up on towers on the corners. There were people with binoculars trying to look for us. These turrets were massive, like large anti-vehicular blasters. The wall went on down to the south for hundreds of feet. Milo, who always learns the hard way, tried to jump using his ring of jump. He went up a good 35 feet, and was immediately shot at by the turret. Then, he was lucky, I think, that he had his ring of FIFA full on, except that when activated, it permanently made him unable to taste apples. I bet he's sorry he used magic now. Then the drow noticed a tank coming many yards down the tree line. We all tried to hide in the trees and swampy bushes. Oh yes, it was quite swampy out there. Nick actually tried to dig a hole and got filthy. Milo got on the radio while the tank was getting close. He talked to the same guy again, and the guy asked if that was us in the vans. Well, yeah. Meanwhile, the tank then stops right in front of us. It aims its gun at one of the vans and fires. It fell short with a thump. Milo asked the guy why they were shooting at us, and he replied that we were flying real fast towards the temple and they thought we were hostile. Then he asked us again if we were tourists. Finally, Milo told him that we were hiding from the tank. He asked why, if we were tourists, we were hiding in the first place. At that point, I placed my assault blaster on my back and walked out of the trees up to the tank with my hands up. Almost immediately, somebody pops out of the hatch and levels a gun at me. He got me to drop my guns and then grilled me about what I was doing here, and so on. He spotted three others in the trees and asked everyone to get out. One was trying to sneak around back of the tank to sneak up on the guy, but he wasn't too graceful about it. Finally the soldier asks me how many are in our group. After thinking about it, I said 10. With that he got more people to come out, including you, and got them to drop their guns. They were a little taken aback by back quotes of the invisible man. Then we noticed a boat pulling up down by the vans, and two soldiers getting out and coming our way. One of them had this really wicked looking gun, and both of them had at least two backup guns. They came up and ordered us to the boat. Most of us went to the boat. I stayed behind to ask the guy about his weapon. He wasn't too thrilled. The two soldiers collected all of the gear and put it up in the tank. The tank commander then saw another three people in the woods. He asked me why I said there were 10 of us. I told him the truth, I can't count. Wong then asked the tank commander why they didn't actually blow up the van with their gun earlier. He said the plain and simple, obvious truth, we missed. Okay, don't let anybody know it, but Milo, Alejandra, and one of the drow are still out there hiding in the woods. We got on the boat and took a trip to the garden, which is inside the walls. It was here that we explained our side of the story. We also found out about this place. This is the Temple of the Frog, and it has been here for a very long time. In the past, the walls were built to protect the town from the denizens of the swamp, Kraks and other nasties. It all seems a little overblown to me. Their rep is a 3-frog officer in the local militia. They answer to a dude named St. Stephen, who is a 10-frog general. We asked if we could see this 10-frog dude, and he said he might let us see him. We asked about the patrol that was sent to Boggy Bottom and they said it hadn't returned yet. He asked which of us was the one using the radio. Knowing that Milo wasn't here, I said it was Wong, who at the exact same moment was saying that he didn't know how to use the radio and pointed at me. We quickly changed the subject. So, the guy then asked us where the body was to get resurrected. It's in the van still. He was a little miffed. You volunteered to go back to the van to grab the body parts and the heads. While you were there, you noticed the invisible dude was still there, but you couldn't make him leave. When you got back, you waited there with the snake heads while Nick went with Jelly's body to get it resurrected. I think he was going to get cleaned up too. Some guards came out and videoed the heads, and you left the heads with them. I think that they might try to hide the evidence, but no biggie. The rest of us took a jaunt across the wooden bridge into Frogtown, a small, old-time village with wooden huts and buildings. It was quite a change from the high-tech guards who have guns coming out of every orifice. Oh, and there are guards everywhere, as if this place is hiding something. I don't trust them at all, but I want to get some weapons from them. Just a few minutes ago, Wong went with some more soldiers on a boat ride to show them the blobs that we saw down the river. And we also just saw a boat pull up with some prisoners who were led into that building across the street. Oh, you ought to go check out the animal skin shop down the road. That's where I got this nice rabbit skin for my helmet. Zoltan points to the rabbit skin affixed to his helmet. So, that's about it. Does any of this ring a bell? Ah, well just stay away from those magic users and you'll be okay. Lem buy you a drink. Meanwhile, Milo, Alejandra and Amio are out in the woods. The tank just pulled out a little while ago, and they are sitting and trying to think of a plan to get us out. They saw a boat come out to the vans, and it looked like Orendel got off and picked up the dead bodies and heads. He got back on the boat and left. Milo suggested following the tank tracks to try and get in the back way. The only flaw was that it might be a guarded door. They see the boats coming and going every once in a while. Maybe there is a way to sneak under the guns and get in through the front. Is there a wall there, or is it open? Alejandra scouts across the little channel and sees that there is a pier and some woods, but no wall and no major doors. She flies back and tells them. Then, they see another boat going out, and they see Wong on it this time. They are not sure what is going on, but they have to free their comrades. Milo suggests waiting until nightfall, swimming across the channel and then trying to infiltrate the compound. Then, once inside, they can determine what actions will be necessary to free the others. Elsewhere, Nick has taken Jelly's body and is bringing it to the temple. The 3-frog officer has offered him a chance to clean up, so he is led up to the temple, but then diverted to the right. He crosses over a drawbridge and then is led to a small room, where he is allowed to clean up. The room is small with very little furnishings, it might be where training priests live. When he is done, he goes with the officer back to the temple. The officer tells him to take the body inside, and they will know what to do. Once inside, he sees a large open temple with a huge altar and many pews. There are 6 priests of various humanoid races up by the altar and they approach Nick as he enters. They inquire about the body and instruct Nick to place it on the altar. Then, they surround the body in a circle, and the head priest tells Nick to either leave or wait in the pews, this will take a long time. Nick, being curious, decides to wait in the pews and soak in the surroundings. He also listens closely to what is being said and figures out that they are not spellcasting, but instead praying to the great frog in the sky. This lasts a long while, until they then pick up the body and swiftly take it behind the altar. Nick decides to follow, as deftly and quietly as he can. They take the body upstairs and into a library where there is another priest, but this one looks different, he must be in charge. Right, as Nick peers around the corner, he sees the high priest pull a device of some sort out of his robe. He uses this to revive Jelly, who then starts moving and waking up. Nick runs back to the pews. After a few minutes, the priests come out from behind the altar with Jelly in tow. He is a little dazed and confused, but otherwise he is okay. The priests say that all is done, and they are ready to go. The priests request that they come back the next day to see the service, take the tour and consider the way of the frog. On the way back through the garden, Nick fills Jelly in with the details from the past 8 hours since he died. At the river, The boat with Wong and the five soldiers pulls up to the beach, where the Vans ran into the flying jellyfish. They tell Wong to go get some evidence. Wong refuses. He says he can't swim, and he would have to swim to the beach to collect the specimen. They think he nuts, but Wong sticks his ground. One of the soldiers then says, "Hey, the water is only 3 feet deep here." Wong lost, but he made them tie a rope around him. He gets out and he soon finds some remnants, but he is not about to touch the stuff, so he comes back. He asks for a container of some sort, but they didn't have any. Then he asks one of the soldiers for his helmet. The guy thought he was crazy, but then Wong used some Zoltan logic on him to convince him to give up his helmet. As Wong is climbing back into the boat with the sample, he notices five flying jellyfish coming up from behind the boat and none of the others notice. Wong freaks and jumps back in the water and starts swimming away. They get mad and pull him back into the boat. He jumps out again. Finally, one of the soldiers mind blasts him and they get him back in the boat. Once Wong stands up, he yells jellyfish, and immediately gets stung by one of the jellyfish. The soldiers take care of the jellyfish very easily. Wong wakes up, as they are on the way back. Wong makes his way back to the inn and meets Nick and Jelly on the road. There was much rejoicing and they were greeted with cheers when they got to the inn. Everybody was very happy to see Jelly, and Wong was telling stories about how he kicked jellyfish butt.